ethical conduct to order. February 21st, 2008, Senator Ortman submitted a letter to me, and I think we forwarded it to all the members. Subcommittee on Ethical Conduct Committee, give her an advisory opinion on whether you have a conflict of interest. As chief author of a couple of Senate bills, Senate File 294 and Senate File 2984, copies of these bills are in your folder. It's up to this committee to decide and give an opinion whether there is a conflict of interest in this matter. So with that, maybe Mr. Watson, you can kind of walk us through how we proceed here and take testimony. This is from Senator Ortman, of course, and make a determination. Mr. Watson.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Peter Watson. I'm Senate counsel for the subcommittee. Members, if you'll take a look at your notebooks, for the benefit of the new members, I thought I'd walk through the rules and procedures that govern the subcommittee and then talk about the precedents that the subcommittee has set for issuing advisory opinions before we get into the details of the request from Senator Ortman and the draft advisory opinion that's before you. If you look under the first tab on standards of conduct, it has excerpts from the standard of conduct established by the Senate, the Code of Conduct 1.25, the Code of Ethics, Section 1.30, Conflicts of Interest, Section 1.35. That's basically what we'll be going through today, is the procedure with the 1.35. Which you'll see is governed by Minnesota statute, section 10A.07. It's also governed by Senate Rule 57, and by Mason's Manual of Legislative Procedure, section 522. And they all say that where there is a personal financial interest in a question that's greater than that of others in the senator's business classification, profession, or occupation, the senator should disclose the potential conflict of interest to the presiding officer of the body that's about to decide the question and ask to be excused from voting on the question. The senator should not chair the meeting during discussion of the question or offer any motion or discussion on the question. And under Senate Rule 41.2, the request to be excused must be made before the question is put. If the senator votes on the question, the senator must file a written statement of the potential conflict of interest with a campaign finance and public disclosure board within a week after the vote. So one of the things that the subcommittee will be doing today is to try to determine whether there indeed is a conflict of interest that would require the senator to request to be excused from particular votes and debate on an issue. The full text of the statute 10A.07, I think maybe the next page in your binders, that talks more about the procedure. Then is there a copy of the rule from the campaign finance board on abstention from action? Then there are some other policies, 1.45 on campaign activity policy, communication equipment policy. Those are not relevant to the discussion today, but might come up in some other ones. So then turning to the next tab, tab number 2, has the rules of procedure, and the first 3 pages or so are just excerpts from Senate Rules 55 to 58. On the second page, you'll see the text again of Senate Rule 57, which repeats basically the kind of thing that I went through a moment ago. There are then some subcommittee on ethical conduct rules of procedure that were amended June 28, 2004. Those rules of procedure come into play when the subcommittee is considering a complaint, and they really don't apply in the case of an advisory opinion. Likewise, the next page on supplemental rules for the January 96 proceedings, those were on a complaint.
couple pages further in, there's the oath for witnesses for the chair to use to swear people in. That's just before the list, the last page before the tab number 3. Tab number 3 then has some more information on costs of proceedings. Again, I don't think that's relevant here. The basic policy is that the Senate doesn't pay the cost of either policy, and that Senate employees, other than clerical help, are not to be assisting a member in either preparing a complaint or defending against it. Tab number 4 then is appropriate disciplinary action. It gives some memoranda discussing what this body and other bodies have used in the past as their appropriate disciplinary action. Again, that's not relevant in this particular case, but if this subcommittee is called upon to consider any complaints in the future, we'll be taking a closer look at that. The next tab has the resolutions imposing discipline. The first one from March of 1994, and then on up to the most recent of March of 2006. That was the Dean Johnson. And then there's a little divider. The last 10 pages or so are advisory opinions that the subcommittee has issued. You can, the first one is to Senator Stumpf. You can find that one. It's dated March
22nd, 1996. Yeah, no, I just caught it. Something caught my eye. Okay. I'm sorry.
So there's the Stumpf advisory opinion from March of 96. And then there's one to Senator Dan Stevens from January of 99, and one to Senator Brian LeClaire in March of 2004. And at least by my records, I think that's the last one that the subcommittee has done. Then turning to this draft advisory opinion that's in front of you, that kind of copies the form of these three previous ones, where it starts out by saying that the subcommittee has had the complaint received. There was a hearing held today. The subcommittee took testimony, discussed what they wanted to do, and came to a conclusion, which is either there is or is not a conflict of interest. Then there is a section setting forth the facts, and the facts in this draft are basically just pulled from Senator Ortman's letter to the committee of February 21st. Then there's a discussion of the conflict of interest law, which is essentially the same as in the three previous ones, just with the addition of the text of Senate Rule 57. And then there is a blank space for the committee to insert its opinion after they decide what it is, and signature by the chairman. So
we're really dealing with Senate Rule 57. Totally, there's nothing else that kicks in here other than conflict of interest.
Mr. Chairman, yes. So
we all know that. I think, what we hear from Senator Ortman, tell us what you think. Feel about this, and you may proceed as you feel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning to all of you. Thank you for convening this meeting this morning. I'm here for your guidance. I'm just like many of the other senators. I have a job outside of serving in the state Senate. We have a citizen legislature, which really allows for us to have other employment, and many of us do. Some of us have employment at home as a stay-at-home parent. Some of us have employment in a school as a teacher. Some have employment as a police officer or an assistant county attorney. In my case, I happen to be the director of finance for the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office. It's a position that I began last April 2007. It's a great honor to serve there, honestly. But when in the course of serving as the director of finance in the sheriff's office, I have found that there are a couple pieces of legislation that could arguably run into some resistance. And so I came to ask you for some guidance to say, let me make sure that there are no ethical issues here if I am the chief author of these bills. I do not represent the sheriff's office in bringing these bills. They are of my own interest. In fact, one of them I introduced long before I was employed in the sheriff's office. The other one is something that I've developed since. The first one is the expungement bill. I'm sure you all are well aware of that. It's something I introduced in 2005, I believe, and then it had some hearings in 2006 and 7. I don't believe there's a conflict there. What the expungement bill does is it talks about a system for sealing criminal records, not destroying criminal records, but sealing them and allowing for the court to make some determinations about whose records should be expunged or sealed and under what circumstances, setting up factors for that. So that's Senate File 294, and by the number you can tell it was introduced quite a long time ago, at the first in 2006.
Frederickson, did you have a question? Mr. Chairman, Senator Ortman, do you mind if we ask questions as you run through this?
Of course. No, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ortman, does the Hennepin County Sheriff's Department benefit from this bill? And if they do, they benefit to any larger extent than any other sheriff's department in the state?
No. That's true of the second bill as well, which is about reinstatement. We have this mortgage foreclosure crisis. In my view, it's a crisis. The sheriff's office does conduct those sales and does record those sales and oftentimes assists homeowners with redemptions in the extent that they can actually finance a redemption. But I certainly would not benefit by changing the relationship between borrowers and lenders, which is what the Senate File 2984 does. It sets up a right of reinstatement for borrowers so that if they can make principal and interest payments, then they can have the right or the remedy of a reinstatement as opposed to redemption being their only remedy. And so, again, I don't believe that this has any – I personally would not benefit. I don't believe that the sheriff's office really is affected by the reinstatement other than maybe the numbers of foreclosures that they may see or not see or the numbers of reinstatements that they now – might see, but I certainly wouldn't benefit, and I don't believe there's a financial impact.
Both of these bills affect other sheriff's departments in the same way.
Exactly the same way.
Nothing unique about the one that you work for in Hennepin County.
There is no distinction.
Okay, any questions on either side?
Mr. Chairman, I might ask Mr. Watson. I looked at this, and I'm familiar with both bills. Excuse me. It seems to me that only if Senator Ortman were in foreclosure would she benefit. But, but even then, she would have to benefit more than anybody else in the group. So I don't know how you would, how you could, you know, say that. So no, I'm not suggesting. But I was trying to find some personal benefit. And that would be the only possible one.
That's
the
point. That's why I think we're here.
Mr. Watson, if I might ask.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Scheid, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
And obviously, you're not a paid lobbyist by Hennepin County. You're not an hourly employee of the county.
I am currently given part-time status for the duration of the legislative session, so working between 40 and 80 hours per pay period. And I am not a lobbyist. I am not here on their behalf. They have their own lobbyist that's working separately, and the county has their own lobbyist as well to promote their legislative agenda.
Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ortman, when you entered, I don't know when you first entered negotiations to go to work for the Hennepin County Sheriff's Department, but was there any inference or expectation that if you authored either of these bills, that you would have an advantage in gaining the position of the Hennepin County Sheriff's Department?
None.
I don't, as far as I'm concerned, I don't believe there's conflict of interest at all here. So that's one person's opinion, and I only have one vote of the four, but I don't think the senator has gained anything like Senator Scheid said and Senator Frederickson. I think that's part of the conflict of interest thought here in Rule 57, but Senator
Sure, thank you. I obviously, if it being a member of law enforcement and the sheriff, have reviewed this myself, but I see absolutely nothing either that's going to interfere at all with her responsibilities or the responsibilities of the sheriff she works for, so I don't see anything at all either, I agree.
Senator Frederickson.
Chairman, are you ready to move?
Yeah, I think we are. Is any, what do you wish, else do you wish to be heard or for or against or whatever, Senator Frederickson?
Mr. Chairman, I would move that the subcommittee find that there is no conflict of interest in Senator Ortman's employment with the Hennepin County Sheriff's Department and the two bills that are referenced, and ask Mr. Watson to
prepare
an opinion for the letter that's drafted.
Okay, that should be, we've got some earlier examples of that language, Senator, or Mr. Watson. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Glad we straighten this out, I hope. Thank you.
Chairman, we don't want any more meetings of this committee.
It's not fun when this committee's called order.
Mr. Chairman, does staff want us to leave these?
I suppose so, but yeah.
She nodded vigorously, yes.
Could I possibly get a copy of this, so I can...
Oh, he can take his with him.
Yeah, I mean, that's why...